Okay, we're going to start here on the last line of Yedimol Amud Bet. Matnele Rabbi the Rabbi Shimon Bray. Now we pull over to another story, but the story in the end will connect back. Rabbi was teaching his son Rabbi Shimon, as I noted before. Rabbi's son Rabbi Shimon is named after his father, Rabbi Shimon Ben and Gamliel. Acherim Omrim, others say, Ilu ayat Tmura, lo ayat Karev. If it really was Tmura, it wouldn't have been brought on the Mizbeach. The Mishnah is a Mishnah that deals with Maaser Behema. Get this again when we get there in Kodoshim, in Masechet Bechorot, which is that when it comes to Maaser Behema, if a person makes a mistake, there's a possibility that he can make the ninth animal that is exiting, the tenth animal, and the 11th animal that are exiting, he can make them all Kadosh. And that's partly because of Zeret HaKadosh, partly because of other problems by Kodoshim, but there's a possibility that you can make the ninth, tenth, and 11th animal Kadosh. What Rabbi Meir says over here is a response to a position of Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah says that the 11th animal is put on the Mizbeach as a Shlamim, and it makes Tmura. That if you try to exchange it with another animal, it'll make that other animal Kadosh. That is Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says, Chiyo yesh Tmura osit Tmura. You can't have a derivative of Tmura. If you exchange an animal for another animal, and that's how it became Kadosh, you can't then go and exchange that animal to something else and make another animal Kadosh. There's no Tmura to Tmura. Implied in Rabbi Yehuda's statement is that the 11th animal is Kadosh because of Tmura. Rabbi Meir answers him and says, if you are really right that the 11th animal is Tmura, then you wouldn't be able to put it on the Mizbeach as a Shlamim. So I'm right because the fact that it goes on the Mizbeach proves to you that it is not Tmura. And that's the statement, the clip that we got from the Mishnah, which Rabbi Meir says, Achayim Ramim, Ayat Tmura, Lo Yat Karei. If you're right that the 11th animal is Kadosh because of Tmura, it wouldn't end up in the Mizbeach as a Shlamim. Amarlo, Bisham says that Mimei Alalu Shememeim Anu Shutim, we drink from their waters from Torah, Ushmotam Einan Mazkirim, we don't mention their names. Amarle, Bnei Adam Shebikshu La'akor Kvodcha, Kvod Beit Avicha, these are people who tried to uproot your honor and the honor of your forefathers, meaning that they would have usurped the power of the Nasi, and you would no longer be in the lineage of the Nasi. Amarle, very interesting discourse between Rabbi and his son. Rabbi Shimon says to his father, Rabbi, Gam ahavatam, gam sinatam, gam kinatam, kvar avado. But all their love, all their hatred, and all their jealousy, kvar avado is already lost. Let bygones be bygones. Why are you holding a grudge against these people? They were not successful in the end. So, let it go. Amarle, Rabbi responds to him. It's interesting, first of all, how they speak. They speak through allegories through psukim, but the fact that Rabbi Shimon is questioning his father in this manner, even though the enemy has ended, their swords last forever. Meaning their piercings or what they try to do is everlasting. Well, the Rashi seems to explain it slightly differently, which is that even though they are gone, that you have to hold your swords against them forever. Meaning that you do bear a grudge against these individuals, even though the individuals have already been gone, although from the remainder of the discourse between them, it seems like the first interpretation of the Ramah makes more sense. And it might even have been an anticipation of what his son was going to say, that Rabbi said, they tried to be Bugeya B'Kvod Cha U'Kvod Beit Avicha, which means that even if you're willing to be Mochel on your Kavod, you don't necessarily have the right to be Mochel on the Kavod of your ancestors. That's true when they were successful. Yes, they might die, but what they did will last forever. But that's only when they were successful at what they did. Over here, they were caught before it happened, and they were not successful. So why are we still holding a grudge? Listen to this. Rabbi went back and retaught him the Mishnah. Amru Mishum Rabbi Meir. They say over in the name of Rabbi Meir, Ilu ayat tmura lo ayat karev. Rabbi accepts the criticism of his son and acknowledges that maybe this is too much, that we're holding a grudge. You see here that the Gemara points out, Amarava filu Rabbi dan vatanutahu. Even Rabbi, who is known as one of the greatest anavim, that's one of the character traits of Rabbi that are mentioned in the Mishnah Navot, as well as in the Gemara at the end of Ketubot, Tana amru mishum Rabbi Meir. When he taught his son, he says, they say in the name of Rabbi Meir, Amar Rabbi Meir, lo Amar. He does not say Amar Rabbi Meir. He still can't say it directly in the name of Rabbi Meir. He says they say over in the name of Rabbi Meir. So you see here that Rabbi acquiesced to his son's criticism not to hold a grudge. But even with all that, he still could not bring himself to totally erase that which happened. So now you could look at this in one of two ways. You can look at that as a criticism in some way of Rabbi, or showing you the power of that type of grudge or that type of issue where you're trying to displace someone's kavod and their honor, that even Rabbi was an anav, still couldn't bring himself to say, I'm a Rabbi Meir, because of that previous incident. So that could be a veiled criticism. Or on the other hand, you could say that Rabbi did a balancing act over here. He acquiesced to his son that he can't hold grudges forever. On the other hand, he still wanted to give a siman that there was something wrong here, and that Rabbi Meir was penalized for his behavior in this situation. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Pligi ba Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Rabbanan. Shimon Gamliel, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that we saw before in the Rabbanan. Chadamar Sinai Adif. One of them says that the person with larger bikiyut, or the beggar baki and bikiyut, is better. And Kisinai is that it's clear to him, or he has it as if it was given to him from Sinai, which he has a clarity and a scope of knowledge, as if he was standing at Sinai and received it in that manner. But he is lacking in his ability to be Oker Harim, which is that he is unable to then either answer issues that come up between the items, to be Mefalpel in items, or maybe even be Mevin, Davar, Mitach, Davar, extrapolate concepts. His reliance is more on his scope of knowledge rather than the depth or capacity to question. Kadamar Oker Harim Adif. The other one who says, the one who can ask questions and grind things up and uproot mountains, they are better. Now, again, this might be a veiled reference to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel versus Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is known as a tremendous Oker Harim. The Gemara in other places knows for us that the Chavirim, so Rabbi Meir, could never figure out what he was saying. He was so smart and so erudite that when he stated an opinion, nobody could argue on him. And that's why we can't pass an halacha like him, because nobody can challenge him because he was so great. So Rabbi Meir was a Oker Harim. And maybe Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was a Sinai. Given that, maybe that gives the difference in their opinion. Although the Gemara never identifies which opinion belongs to whom. But nevertheless, you could argue that that's why the Gemara is bringing it over here. Or it might be because the Gemara ends off like this in a number of Masechtot. It's more of a general theme about learning. Is it better to have the swath of Mishnayot known to you? Meaning that you have all of that bikiyut. And once you have that bikiyut, then you can move on. Or is it better to have someone who's sharp and can question and help you get to the right place? Rav Yosef Sinai. The Gemara brings an example. It's a Gemara that's identical to the Gemara at the end of Brachot. Rav Yosef was the one who was a Sinai. He knew all the Mishnayot. Rabbah, his contemporary, was an Oker Harim. Shachul Taman. They sent over there. They're in Bavel. They sent over to Eretz Yisrael, Ezeman and Kodem. They were now going to have to assign one of them to be the Rosh Yeshiva. They wanted to know, should it be Rabbah or Rav Yosef? Shalchulu Sinai Adif. From Eretz Yisrael, they sent back that the Sinai is Adif. Damar Mar, Kol Tzrichim Namarei Chitayo. Everybody needs the owner of the silo. Which means, in the end, this is something that's very unique to their time. When you're talking about Torah Shebaal Peh, everybody needs the person who has all of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Otherwise, you will never have a Misora, or you'll never be able to learn. An Oker Harim can do things in a local sense, but he's missing parts of the Torah. The Sinai is something that everybody needs, because he's the one who can give you all the memory, can give you all the information. And therefore, he takes precedence over the Oker Harim. And the Oker Harim is much more of a Chachan, someone who is Mechadesh, but there is a risk in the Oker Harim. Both his lack of the scope of knowledge of everything that's there, as well as his reliance on logic, mean that there is fallibility to that which he does. And therefore, we give precedence to the Sinai. Despite the fact that he was given the right to be the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yosef demurred to Rabbah. The Gemara in Brachot adds on a little extra to the story, which is that this astrologer had told him that after he rises to come to power, that he's going to die very shortly afterwards. So therefore, Rav Yosef was choshesh for that Kaldai that gave him that information, and therefore he didn't want to accept the power or leadership position. That's absent in the Gemara here. Malach Rabba Asrim V'Tartin Shnin. Rabba ruled, or was the Rosh Hashiva, for 22 years in Pumpadita. V'Hadar Malach Rav Yosef. Only after those 22 years, then Rav Yosef came to be the Rosh Hashiva. V'chol Shanei the Malach Rabba. All the years that Rabba was the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Yosef filu umna lebeitei lo chalif. Rav Yosef, and here Rashi brings two possible interpretations, he never brought a blood letter to his house. Either that's because the Rosh Hashiva got the kavod of the blood letter coming to his house, So Rav Yosef didn't want to act like a Rosh Yeshiva, so he didn't let the bloodletter come to his house. He would go to Rabbah's house to have the bloodletter working on him over there. Or Rashi brings another interpretation, which is that he had no free time. He was Osek in Torah all those years that he would have been the Rosh Yeshiva, and he had no free time to have a bloodletter come over to his house. That's another explanation. Or there's a third possibility, which is he never fell ill during that period of time. He never needed the bloodletter to come to his house because he was healthy all those years. Because we know after he took power, he dies 2 years later, like the prediction of the Koldai. The Gemara in Brachot says, "Kol adochek et hashah." Anyone who pushes time, time pushes him. Kol she hashah dochako. Anybody who lets time push him around, he's dochek et hashah. And this is the example. Rav Yosef, who bid his time until he became Rosh Yeshiva, lived an additional 22 years. Had he become Rosh Yeshiva right away, he would have died 2 years later. The fact that he waited gave him an additional 22 years. That's the conclusion of the Gemara in Brachot. Now, this is in Pupadita. Abaye Verova, Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Bar Matna, Rabbi Yatve, they're all sitting around, Rabbi Tzvicha Reisha. They had to decide amongst them who's going to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Abaye and Rova are the next generation. Abaye is a Talmid of Rabbi Yosef and Rabba, and Rova is also a Talmid of Rabba, Talmid Mupok of Rav Nachman, and here they're trying to figure out who's going to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Pupadita after the passing of Rabbi Yosef. Amri, kol demar milta v'lo mafrich, lavi reisha. Anybody who says over a memra that nobody can ask a question on it, nobody can upend, they'll become the Rosh Yeshiva. The kula ifrich, all of them put forth an idea or a concept that was undermined. Dabaye lo ifrich. Dabaye's statement or whatever he put forth was not undermined by the others. Chazia Rabba, it's probably not Rabba because Rabba had already passed away. It's Chazia Rova l'abaye, the gava reisha. Amalei, Nachmani Ptach Veima. Go and start darshaning in public. Although the Rama lowers the stakes over here and says it wasn't a question about who's going to be Rosh Yeshiva, rather who's going to be the head of the Chabura of their learning, who is going to be the lead party here deciding what they learn and presenting the learning to the others. And then that would also allow the Girsa to remain over here, Rabba, because it means that his Rebbe was still alive and he was giving permission to become the head of the group. So Chazio Rova the Abaye the Gova Reisha, that he saw that he had, Rashi says, Haramata Rosh, that his head was elevated, and the Toswat Rosh adds in, Batzalat Panim, that his face began to radiate, meaning that he saw the success of the position that he had given out that nobody could question. Either that could be a negative statement, which is, he saw that Abaye was getting a little bit haughty or feeling a little bit good about what he did. And therefore, the next statement of Rova, where he calls him Amalei Nachmani, is to put him back in his place and say, listen, you're still Nachmani. And the fact that you were Zocha to be the Rosh Yeshiva, that's been a Shamayim. That's not necessarily because of your zchut. Or on the other hand, it could have been a positive statement, which is Chazi Rova Abaye, the Gover Reisha, that he was being elevated min HaShemayim. He saw this as a siman min HaShemayim. Even though they were peers, or even though maybe Rova was greater than Abaye, at this point, the Siyata Dishmai had it that Abaye was the one who was chosen and elevated to be the Rosh Yeshiva, and that's a siman min HaShemayim. That's who they wanted to be the Rosh Yeshiva. And then when Rova calls him afterwards, Amalei Nachmani, that's because they were peers. And that's what Rava called him all the time, Nachmani. But he invites him to be the Rosh Yeshiva and to speak up and say, because he saw that Sha'am Esacheket Lo, the time had come for him and Min HaShemayim, they wanted him to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Although if you look in the Tosfot HaRosh, he quotes from Perish Rav Haigon, the Abaye Nachmani Shemo, that Abaye's name was Nachmani, Mufashim Bekama Duchte B'Gemara, and they explain that in many places in the Gemara, V'Nakte Rabbonon, the Baruchi, the Rabba Bar Nachmani Hava, because he was the nephew of Rabba Bar Nachmani, Bitalmido. Abaye grew up in Rabba's house. His parents passed away when he was very young, but he was also the nephew of Rabba Bar Nachmani. And Abaye had the same name as Rabba's father, Nachmani. Rabba, whose father was around all those years, didn't want to call Abaye by his first name, Nachmani, because that would be a front when he's using his father's name to call Abaye. And therefore, Avakarle Abaye v'lashon Arami. He used to call him Abaye in Aramaic, Kadam Shukore Avi. Like a person who calls him my father. Because Nachmani was the name of his father, and he said Abaye like Avi, my father. Because he carried the same name. Now they was calling him his father, but your name is like my father's name. But his real name was Nachmani. And since he was amongst the greatest of the Talmidei Chachamim, the name stuck, even though it was a name that was given by Rabba in a particular circumstance, it stuck with him, like this terminology of Rav and Rabbi. Av Avaye, which was Av, also stuck with him because of his stature. And that's how they explain it, and that's why Rav over here calls him Nachmani, because that is his real name. His name of Avaye really was from Rabba, and that name stuck, but people who knew him and were his peers called him Nachmani, like his real name. Avaye becomes Rosh Hashiva in Pumbedita. After the passing of Avaye in Pumbedita, Rava moves the yeshiva over to Mechuza, and then he becomes the Rosh Hashiva in Mechuza. Yibailu, Rabbi Zeirav, Rabba Bar Matno. So you have a similar genre of question. You have Rabbi Zeirav and Rabba Bar Matno. Hey, minayu adif. Which one of them is greater? Rabbi Zeirav Harif Umakshet. Rabbi Zeirav is sharp as a whip. He can ask questions, he questions quickly, answers quickly, he's all over things. Rabbi Bar Matno Matun Umesit. He's someone who is slow, but thorough in his approach to things. Which one is greater? Rashi over here says, we're trying to get to the halacha. How do you get to the proper halacha? Both of these are valid ways to get to halacha. Rabbi Zeira is helpful because he's sharp. He asks these really good questions, which forces you to answer, and then he goes around quickly asking and answering, and through that mechanism, you're able to get to the truth or to the right halacha. The other hand, Rabbi Matno doesn't do things as quickly. He's not as sharp, but he's very patient and thorough in what he does. And in that patience and thoroughness, he ends up with the right answer coming out of Liba the Hilchota. So which is a better approach to get to the halachic outcome or the proper halachic outcome? My, which one takes precedence? Teiku. Gemara here leaves that as unresolved. I think the Gemara wanted to head off on something like that where it's unresolved. In an elu meilu divrei elukim chayim. That these are both valid ways to deal with things. And different people take different routes to get to the same conclusion or the proper conclusion. And with that, we end Masechet Horiot, as well as Seder Nezikin. Hadron Alach Kohen Mashiach, Uslik Alah Masechet Horiot.